Hello, Radioland. This is WCOMLP Chapel Hill, 103.5 Chapel Hill and Carrboro. Support for WCOM comes from the Cary Playwrights Forum. It's 9 o'clock on a Tuesday night, so it must be time for the Cary Playwrights Forum Radio Hour. I'm your host, Yvette Holder. If you enjoy this show or any show on 103.5, you can support us by contributing safe tax-deductible donations to WCOM online at www.wcomfm.org. Tonight's program showcases local playwright Mark Cornell. We will be reading four of his plays, all of which were originally written for the stage, but at our request, have been tweaked just a little to make them what we call radio ready. Mark is an ensemble member of Moonlight Stage Company in Raleigh, where several of his short plays have appeared. He is also partner with Paul Newell in Full Nelson Theater. And Mark Jansen, two Marks, have teamed up to form Marked Men Films. Currently living in Chapel Hill, he has an MFA in playwriting from UCLA. We will brag a little more about Mark at the end of this broadcast, so stick around. Meanwhile, concerning the four plays we'll be reading tonight, All the Answers is Mark's most produced short play, having been produced 25 times from Singapore to Sydney to San Antonio. Conversely, A Walk is a brand new play. Marv and Heidi is an adaptation of Oh Geez, Florida, Yeah, a short Christmas play that was originally produced by Moonlight Stage in Raleigh. And Story Road, the final play, won Best Playwright at Pittsburgh New Works Festival, as well as Best Script at the City Theater of Independence. And it also appeared last fall at the Cary in downtown Cary, North Carolina, as part of a show called Dawn's Early Light. So, without further ado, our first play, All the Answers, is set in present someplace, as the script tells us, between heaven and hell. Our cast.
I'm David Kleonski, and I'll be playing Joe.
I'm Faith Crouch, playing Isabel, who is 16.
A large door opens and closes. We hear the sound of bare feet slowly crossing a floor.
Hi.
Come on in.
Is this it?
Is what it?
I was told this is the place that has all the answers.
Yes, this is it.
Really?
Yeah, really.
Oh. It's just a big empty space.
What were you hoping for?
Something a little more profound.
Like marble and lots of books?
Maybe. I don't know.
This is it. Deal with it. My name is Isabel.
I'm Joe. Aren't you a little young?
I know. Ironic. Turns out some teenagers do know everything.
Do I sit?
You're going to be a total nightmare. I can tell. Yes, Joe. The chair is for you.
You don't have a chair?
No.
Why not?
I'm not allowed to have one.
Oh, you want mine?
I'm not allowed to have yours.
That seems awfully cruel. How long have you been doing this?
It'll be 958 years next month.
That's terrible. How long do you have to keep doing it?
It's been 958 years. How long do you think? Forever.
Forever?
Let me explain something, Joe. You may be in heaven, but I am in hell. This is my eternity. Standing here answering all of the questions that humanity has grappled with for all time.
Wow, that's awful.
Yes, Joe. Hell is bad. This should not be news to you.
No.
Look, why don't you sit down and ask away? All right, what do you want to know?
Well, wow, I have so many questions.
Don't worry, you won't trip me.
Oh, no, it's not that, it's just... Wow, I have so many questions.
I'm sure you do. Just try and make it interesting, okay? I've had some real yawners this morning. One lady wanted to know about her mother's secret lemon meringue recipe. And then I had this old burnout ask me about the lyrics to some Doobie Brothers song. And of course, I got, "What is the meaning of life?" for the 5 billionth time.
You really do know all the answers?
Yes.
All of them?
All of them.
That's staggering.
You get used to it.
So, wow, like, you really know who killed Kennedy and whether we actually descended from apes and whether my first girlfriend cheated on me with that bucket head in my existentialism class in college?
I do.
So, who did kill Kennedy? Oh no, wait. I think I'd rather know about my girlfriend first. No, hold on. I don't want to know that. If it's true, then yikes, I'm going to be obsessing for, I don't know, forever, maybe. And I really don't want to do that. I mean, frankly, I'd rather know about the apes thing.
Is this your question?
My question?
Yes, your one question.
What?
I should have said something right from the top, because way too many people come in here thinking that they can get an answer to any and all questions because I have the answers to any and all questions. So, let me be clear. You only get one question.
You're kidding.
I'm not allowed to kid.
Oh, man. This is disappointing.
Welcome to my life.
One question?
Yes.
Oh, that really makes it hard.
I know.
How much time do I have?
10 minutes.
10 minutes? Who made up these rules?
Your man and mine. It was quite a negotiation, I'll tell you. Your guy's so straight about everything, and mine just lies like crazy. I don't know how they settle anything.
Wow, 10 minutes?
Actually, you're down to 6 minutes and 20 seconds.
I am?
It was 10 when he walked in.
It counts down from the moment I enter? But I need more time, and I need many, many questions answered.
I think that's the thing. I can't get to everyone if I answer all of your questions. People are piling up outside. There are currently 107 deaths per minute on Earth.
There are?
Yes, I keep telling you, I know everything.
Oh, right.
Fortunately, not every one of those 107 comes to me. Some people die and nothing matters to them anymore. But it seems like more and more people these days want answers. Hence the madhouse out front.
Yeah, I knew. I was in line a long time. I thought I'd died and gone to a new iPhone launch.
You're wasting time. You've got 5 minutes and 45 seconds to come up with a question.
But how am I going to pick one question?
Is that your question?
No, of course not.
Look, I've already given you a bunch of freebies, so don't get upset at me.
You have not.
So is this it? Really? Do I sit? You don't have a chair? Why not? You want me to go on?
Those aren't questions.
If you have to put a question mark at the end of a sentence, it means it's a question. A question is a question is a question. The clock is ticking.
Okay. Wow. Okay, one question. Let me think. This isn't going to be easy. Oh, okay. What have I always wanted to know more than anything? No, that's not my question.
Duh.
Wait. If you know everything, then you know my question is going to be.
I cannot read minds nor predict the future. I can only tell you what is. I'm not God, after all. 4.5 minutes.
Oh, stop pressuring me. Oh, all right. Let's see. Oh, wow. Okay. You know, I kind of like to know about the true demise of my guppy. You see, I had this guppy when I was a kid, and my neighbor claims that he did not feed it to his cat, but I was very, very much suspected that he did, and all over the fact that I couldn't come up with a suitable name for the guppy. I was just so indecisive.
Imagine that.
What do I want to know? Well, I've always wanted to know what heaven was like, but I'm here now, and I have to tell you, so far, I'm not that impressed.
You just came straight from the airport. So to speak, your opinion of heaven will change.
How do you know about heaven?
I told you, I know everything.
Yeah, but how can you know about heaven if you're in hell?
You see, that's part of what makes living in hell so painful. I know exactly what I'm missing. You've got 3 minutes and 55 seconds.
Okay. Oh, this is like dealing with a burning fuse. And to be honest, it's a little unfair. I die, get to heaven, and I get one thing answered. All my life, I was plagued with questions about life. I was a philosophy major, and nothing I ever tried worked out. Career paths that went nowhere. Two wives who hated my guts. My father got brain cancer and died an ugly death. Brain cancer! I mean, really, what is the reason for the existence of brain cancer? And of course, I could never, never understand how America can be the most cynical society in the world. And yet, we elected to our most important job a man who says, believe me. My life was been a parade of, are you kidding me? But you want to know what kept me going? The idea that when I died, all would be revealed.
Sorry.
Sorry? That's it?
Look, speaking from experience, let me tell you, there is no joy in knowing all things. You can't imagine what I know and live with and will carry around for all of time. Yeah, some people come in here and ask idiotic questions, but most people want to know some pretty awful things, like what happened to their abducted child, and why did my husband abandon me, and what did the Huns do with my father when they took him away? And guess what? I have to tell them. I can't lie. I can't even sugarcoat it. Years and years ago, I had this little Irish kid who died during the potato famine, and he came in wanting to know where his mother was so he could see her again. And I had to tell him the truth, that he was never going to see her again. Never.
Why not?
Families don't always end up together, Joe. Sometimes one of them goes, you know where.
So how did you end up in hell?
I was burned at the stake for being a witch.
That's horrible. But how could he go to hell for that?
I really was a witch.
Oh. Really?
Hey, I know it was the Dark Ages back then, but we had peer pressure too. You have 2.5 minutes.
Where are you from, Isabel?
You're wasting time.
Are you French?
No.
German?
No.
Do you spell your name I-S-A-B-E-L or I-S-A-B-E-L-L-E?
Why are you hung up on this?
I just want to know.
It's irrelevant.
Maybe to you.
I'm Spanish.
Why don't you speak with an accent? Oh, or in Spanish.
It's called 900 Years of Assimilation. You're unbelievable. You're going to blow this.
I'm a curious person. I'm sorry.
The clock isn't going to stop.
I should have more than one question, and I should have longer than 10 minutes.
You don't.
Well, I should.
It doesn't matter. You can't change the rules.
I don't like the rules.
It doesn't matter how you feel about the rules. The rules are the rules.
I have no say.
None. Zero. Zip.
I wish I had known this before I walked in here.
2 minutes, Joe.
That's not enough time.
Stop making excuses.
It's not fair.
You are dead, Joe. Right and wrong, good and bad, fair and unfair no longer matter.
It does to me.
Ask your question, Joe. No one has ever come in here and not asked a question.
Really?
Really. And no one has ever asked me a question about me until you. Ask your question, Joe. Please. I really want to answer it.
All right.
Don't hesitate, Joe.
I can't help it.
You're under 2 minutes. Ask.
Okay.
Now.
Okay. Oh, no. One question. Okay. I don't want to know anything about my wives. And I certainly don't want you to explain love because, you know, I'm afraid the answer will require all of eternity. The philosopher Heidegger asked, why is there something rather than nothing? I spent a whole semester in a brain lock over that one, but really, who cares? I lost a dog once. I'm sure that didn't end well. I've always been fascinated with Bigfoot and the abominable snowman, but those things seem pretty trivial now. Were they real? Who cares? I used to have arguments with my mother about whether O.J. really did it, but again, who cares? Was my father ever proud of me? I'm afraid of the answer to that question. Is global warming true? Is Tom Cruise gay? What killed all the dinosaurs? Who built Stonehenge? How did they do it? And well, why? will we ever find a cure for cancer? I guess that's of no consequence now that I'm dead. Oh, one question. Wow. Oh, this is really hard. Oh, what do I really want to know? I'd like to know if the Patriots cheated to get their Super Bowl wins. I'm a Patriots fan, and I'd like to put that matter to rest once and for all.
Hurry, Joe.
I want to know why I had so much heartache. Getting kicked out of college for plagiarizing a paper, which I didn't do. Losing my little restaurant after 5 years of blood and sweat and work. There was so much failure, so much disappointment. And I'm not even talking about my own death, which was, I have to tell you, quite a little card hand I got dealt there. I was 44 years old. I get the flu, it turns into pneumonia, and then here I am. I mean, I guess I could ask why. You know, why me? Why did I die from pneumonia? But I'd be saying why me about my whole life. Okay, I'm in heaven. Great, wonderful, fantastic. But why me, you know? Why me? Wait. I've got it. I think I know what I want to know. Will I ever go back? Will I get to live life over again? Will I get another chance? That's what I want to know. That's it. That's my one question. Tell me, will I get to live life again?
I'm sorry, Joe. I warned you. I warned you over and over. Time's up.
Once again, that was All the Answers. Next up is A Walk, which is also set in the present. We found ourselves the waiting room of an auto mechanic repair shop where we will meet two people in their 70s, Art and Emily.
I'm David Kleansky playing Art.
I'm Mary Rowland, and I'll be Emily.
Emily sits reading a magazine. After a moment, Art enters. He takes a seat across the room for her. He has a paperback book with him, which he opens and starts to reading. Emily notices him, then looks away. She looks back. He notices. She looks away. He goes back to his book. She looks again. He sees her. She turns away. Tries to pretend to read.
Hello.
Excuse me?
I was just saying hello.
Are you talking to me?
Yes. It's no one else in here.
Oh.
Looked like you were looking at me.
Did it?
It did.
Well, I wasn't.
Wait. I know you. This is going to really bother me. I hate it when you know someone, but they're out of context. Don't you hate that?
Not really.
The library. That's it. You work at the public library.
Yes. Mystery solved.
Well, hello.
Hello.
You're looking at me again.
No, I wasn't.
Yes, you were.
I was looking at Dale Earnhardt.
Dale Earnhardt? Oh, the poster on the wall. Are you into auto racing?
No, I can't stand it.
So why were you looking at the poster if you...
All right, fine. I was looking at you, okay? I was looking at you.
Glad we settled that.
I see you all the time in the library, and I've never spoken to you until now. And I just wanted to tell you that...
Tell me what?
You have a very kind face.
Oh. Wow, thank you. No one's ever said that to me before.
Well, I've said it before, just not to you.
Yeah. My wife recently died.
I know. It was in the paper.
We were together for 52 years.
I know.
I think it's important to mention that in case you were...
In case I was what?
Nothing.
My husband died 3 years ago. We were together for 49 years.
Oh, I'm sorry.
It was in the paper, too, just not on the front page like your wife was.
My wife sometimes paid the price for being married to somebody well-known. I take it you've read my books?
I have.
Uh-oh.
Well, they're perfectly fine books. Actually, I've only read one of them, sort of. I didn't completely get through it.
That bad?
Crime fiction's just not my cup of tea. Blood makes me squeamish. And the one I didn't get completely through had a lot of blood, like buckets.
I see.
Well, don't take it so hard. You can't please everyone, right?
No.
I say this to myself whenever a patron gets particularly irritable.
Yeah, good philosophy, I think.
I'm sorry for staring.
No, it's quite all right. People sometimes stare at me.
Because you're a famous author.
Right.
Not because you have a kind face.
Unfortunately, no. At least, I don't think so. What's your name?
Emily.
Emily. I'm Art.
Yes, I know.
Yes, of course you know my name. Listen, I don't know what's going on here right now between you and me, but...
You think something's going on?
I'm just...
I know your wife.
Yes.
You feel like you're being unfaithful just talking to me.
I do.
It's perfectly natural to feel that way.
It is.
She just passed away. And it doesn't feel like she's gone, right? She just walked into the other room. You don't even miss her yet, not entirely. And you think that's terrible.
Wow. That's some insight.
You'll miss her. And when you do, it will hit you like a boulder, and she will seem very, very gone. I'm sorry, that's rude. I shouldn't presume.
It's okay.
I often make the mistake that I'm an expert in grieving. I'm very sorry.
It's understandable. Forget about it.
What?
Just to be clear, you're pursuing me right now, aren't you?
Pursuing? I'm not a character in one of your novels.
Maybe pursuing is the wrong choice of words. Let's call it showing an interest.
Yes, I am showing an interest.
You are?
You know, your kind face and all. I'm a sucker for kindness.
Right.
I know. Your wife, you feel funny. I know.
But you're showing an interest anyway.
Yes.
I don't know how to respond to that, Emily.
I don't know how to respond to you not knowing how to respond, Art. I woke up today and realized, again, I was still here. I'm here, Art, and now you're there. And I want to participate in life. The book in your hand, is that one of yours?
This? No, it's Gone Girl. I think I'm one of the few that saw the movie first. What are you reading?
People magazine. Enthralling.
I think they should put great works of literature in waiting rooms, don't you?
Why is that?
What would it say about a place like this if all the major Russian novels were here?
That people can expect their repair to take a really long time. So do you always bring your car here?
I do. I live up the hill.
The owner's my neighbor.
Nice young man. Runs a great shop here.
He's worked on my Honda ever since I bought it. It started leaking oil. I didn't bring it in, and the engine caught fire.
Caught fire?
Oh, yes. I'm just waiting to know if the car is a total loss.
I have a Datsun Roadster. Tiny little car. Had it for 40 years. 3 days ago, it decided not to turn on. I don't blame it. Most days I feel the same way.
So you've had no car?
No. I hate feeling stuck like this. It's not that I have a million places to go. I just don't like the idea of not leaving the house.
Yeah, I feel stuck too. Although walking is good.
Yes, walking is good.
I enjoy walking.
I do too.
It always refreshes me.
Me too.
Would you like to take a walk with me, Art?
A walk?
Yes.
With you?
Yes.
You mean now?
I mean now. Our cars aren't ready.
No, they're not.
So, would you like to go?
Where would we go if we went for a walk?
The campus is right up the road. We could walk through the botanical garden.
We could.
And then come right back.
Probably a good idea.
I'm happy to put down this magazine. And you know how Gone Girl ends.
True.
It's just a walk, Art. Doesn't a walk sound nice?
Yeah, it does.
Do you want to go? Do you want to go for a walk with me? I promise I won't hold your hand, but I will want you to walk next to me.
I would hope so.
So, is that a yes?
Okay. Sounds like... Here we go. Sounds like we definitely need a walk.
Or at least to stand more often. Thanks for doing this.
Thanks for asking.
You're welcome. You ready?
I think so.
Okay. Here we go.
Once again, that was The Walk. The opinions expressed on this show are not those of WCOM, its board of directors, or its underwriter. Marv and Heidi, an adaptation of Oh, Geez, Christmas, Yeah, is up next. It is late December. We are on a beach in Florida. Marv and Heidi, both about 40 years old, sit in beach chairs, bundled up like the coldest of cold winters. In front of them is a cooler. On top of it is closed, tinfoil-covered deep dish of food.
I'm Robbie Merritt as Marv.
I'm Mary Roland as Heidi.
Beach is nice, yeah?
Oh, the beach is darn nice. Sure.
Look at those waves crashing, would you, hon?
Oh, yeah.
And our cottage, yeah?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, with the view and the spinning doohickey on the ceiling blowing the air all over ya, sure. Gonna be a heck of a Christmas this year, you know.
Oh, yeah, sure. You're darn tootin'.
Glad we came down here, you know. Something new, yeah?
'Twas a great idea, Marv.
Thanks, Heidi. Warm out, though, yeah?
Oof-da, hot, sure.
Sweating a bit here.
Oh, yeah. Geez, yeah, you betcha.
Florida not like Minnesota. Not in December, anyway.
Oh, gosh, no.
You want to get in the water?
Don't got swimsuits, you know.
Oh, geez. Yeah?
Yeah.
Holy buckets. Forgot about the swimsuits.
Can't really wear swimsuits, though, hon. Can't be getting exposed, you know.
Oh, yeah? Don't want to be getting exposed, no.
No.
You look gosh darn pretty good, Heidi. Swimsuit or not.
Thanks, Marv. You're rather fetching yourself, don't you know?
You think so?
Oh, yeah.
So what you want to do? Have a pop from the cooler? Or break open the hot dish?
Just sitting here is good, hon.
Yeah?
Oh, yeah. Sitting here is okie dokie.
What about a walk on the sand?
We need to lay low, you know, given what happened back home.
Oh, sure, yeah. We need to lay low.
Well, that's why we're wearing the coats and stuff, so nobody, you know, spots us, given what happened back home, you know.
Oh, yeah, you betcha. People seem to be lingering as they walk by.
Don't like the lingering. Gotta be careful of the lingering, if you know what I mean.
Oh, yeah. Lingering says things, you know.
Maybe people recognize us. Sure, from the TV, from what happened back home.
Oh, yeah, maybe.
Us murdering the snowplow guy and all.
Oh, geez, yeah.
with us hacking up the snowplow guy with the tree saw.
Oh, I love that tree saw, Heidi.
Oh, yeah, me too. You betcha.
You think people recognize us?
Don't know. Just gotta be on guard, sure.
Oh, sure, yeah.
It's all over the news, us cutting up the snowplow guy with the tree saw and then burning his body in the oil drum.
Gosh darn it. The snowplow guy shouldn't have piled the snow on top of our nativity scene in the yard like he did.
That's such a nice nativity scene, hon.
Oh, yeah, I know, hon.
People are staring.
Don't like the staring.
If anyone recognizes us, we're going to have to kill them, you know.
Oh, sure. Tree saw's in the cooler, just in case.
Maybe it's just the clothes, you know?
Sure. Hard to miss a family all bundled up on the beach like it's cold.
When it's not cold, you know?
'Tis winter, though.
'Tis 86 degrees, geez.
'Tis Florida in December.
'Tis true, yeah.
Definitely sweating here.
But the clothes are supposed to hide our identity.
It's a conundrum, sure. Maybe we go inside, yeah?
And stay inside, as far as that goes.
Oh, sure.
That cottage is for cute.
But the beach is so nice, hon.
Oh, yeah, the beach is nice.
Christmas in Florida. Like a dream, you know.
Oh, yeah, you betcha.
Let's stay a little longer, yeah?
Oh, yeah, sure, you bet.
And that was Marv and Heidi. And our final offering is Story Road. The time is the present. We are inside a truck stop in Wyoming. We hear big rigs as they roll by. We also hear the hiss of brakes and the starting up of engines. Then, silence. Cleveland is a singer-songwriter in his 40s. Ellie is his 15-year-old daughter.
I'm Robbie. As Cleveland.
I'm Faith Crutch, playing Ellie.
Ellie, in a nice dress, her face overly made up, stands with a suitcase. We hear Cleveland calling out to her from her next room.
Ellie!
In comes Cleveland, in a hurry, out of breath. He is wearing cowboy boots, blue jeans, and a wrinkled t-shirt that he clearly slept in. His hair is wild.
Oh, my God. I've been looking all over for you. What are you doing here, Ellie?
What does it look like I'm doing, Dad?
It looks like you're doing something crazy.
Crazy? Crazy is you getting the name Cleveland.
Are you running away?
I don't want to do this anymore.
Do what anymore?
This. Following you around as you play your music. What do you think I'm talking about?
And hitching a ride from the nearest trucker is going to make things better.
I have no idea, but I know it'll be different.
I have to make a living for us, Ellie. I'm sorry, this is not the life you imagined.
This is not a life. Well, it is one, but it's a crappy one.
I have to take gigs wherever I can get them now. I'm doing the best I can.
Hello? Your songs suck, Dad.
Gee, thanks.
Like, big time suck.
Don't spare my feelings or anything.
I mean, you can play the guitar a little bit and sing a little bit, but your songs suck.
They don't suck. How could they suck? I've been writing songs all my life.
That's the problem, Dad. You've been doing it all your life, and you still suck at it.
Well, it's just taking me a long time to get good at it.
You're never going to get good, Dad.
Wow, you're on a roll here.
I'm sorry. You're 46. You're not going to wake up tomorrow and write a great song. You're not.
What if I do?
You won't.
What if I do?
You will if the song is about delusion.
Nice. You have such faith.
I'm a hardcore realist.
Is that what you call it? And because you think my songs suck, You decide to get up in the middle of the night, sneak out of our motel room, walk across the parking lot, and take up with the first maniac on 18 wheels?
It's not just because your songs suck. There was also a cockroach in our bathroom. And he had friends. Lots of them.
So?
So, I got up to pee, and it was like a jailbreak in the bathroom.
It happens.
Well, shit, Dad. It doesn't have to happen, does it?
It does where we're staying.
That's my point, Dad. I can't do the sleazy motel thing anymore. I can't do dinner at Wendy's anymore. I can't do the long driving, the car having problems, and looking for the laundromats, and the weird smells, and the always needing a shower, and the dive bars where I have to sit in the dark and sell your stupid CDs, and read those stupid homeschool books, which, if you haven't noticed, are geared towards wacko Christian kids, Dad.
They are.
My math book title is Let Jesus Teach You Math.
The guy at that bookshop in Omaha said they were inspiring.
I'll bet. I'm tired, Dad. I'm really, really tired.
It's not all that bad out here, Ellie. We have freedom to do whatever we want. Whatever we want to.
I don't feel free.
Ellie, there are beautiful things out here.
Like what?
There's the desert sunsets and the giant redwoods and the mountains and the open prairie and...
That's total loser postcard stuff. I can get that shit on the internet.
There's you and me being together.
That is so lame, Dad.
It's actually not lame. It's the opposite of lame. Being together is precious and you know it.
You mumble in your sleep, by the way.
What?
And you leave your guitar picks, like, everywhere. And you let people push you around too much. And you continue to introduce me to other musicians, even though I've told you a billion times I don't like it.
You're my daughter.
And I know you think my meanness masks some internal pain, but it doesn't. This is how I've always been. Ta-da!
It's not how you always have been. You look nice, by the way.
I know.
Where'd you get the dress?
There's a clearance rack by the beef jerky display.
And the perfume?
It's hand sanitizer.
And the lipstick.
Like, I don't have my own lipstick.
I wonder what time it is.
It's 4:52 a.m. and 17 seconds. There's a clock next to that elk head. It even has a second hand.
You hungry?
Maybe.
You want to get something at the restaurant here? It's open 24/7.
They closed it to truckers only, but there's an apple fritter in that glass case over there that's been staring at me for like 20 minutes.
Wait. I don't have my wallet on me.
Doesn't matter. I cleaned out your wallet. Here's a five. Can you get me that apple fritter?
Jesus, Ellie. You stole money from me, too.
Hey, I left your credit cards. I could have wiped you out.
You don't want this apple fritter.
Yes, I do.
It's got mold on it.
Oh, my God.
Sorry. The other donuts don't look much better. There's a tub of mac and cheese here.
Are you serious?
Okay. What about this Caesar salad? Hold on. There's kind of a fly situation going on.
Forget it. I'm suddenly feeling really sick.
I think I have a couple of Pop-Tarts back in the room.
I never want another Pop-Tart as long as I live.
Me either. I'm sorry, sweetie. For everything.
How did you find me anyway?
Well, you weren't in the lobby of the motel or outside anywhere. Or the Steak and Shake. The bar is closed. There's nothing else out here but this truck stop.
There's always nothing else out here.
It's Wyoming. It's sparse.
And really windy.
I know.
See the sign?
All questions answered pegboard. 1. Yes, the wind always blows. 2. Snow fences. 3. 183 wind turbines generates electricity. 4. 8,000 feet. 5. Antelope. 6. Bigger town 40 miles west, 60 miles east. 7.
You don't have to read them all aloud.
Were you really going to run away?
Maybe. I can't do this anymore, Dad. I mean, I don't even know where we're going to be tomorrow night.
Casper, we're going to be in Casper. I have a gig at the Rodeo Lounge.
That's great, Dad.
Supposed to be a really nice place.
I'll bet.
A famous place, too. Simon and Garfunkel played there.
Really?
Yes. And Conway Twitty.
Who?
Conway Twitty. It's only make-believe. Hello, darling.
Sorry.
Well, I mean, they aren't the only names who played there. Joan Baez. Linda Ronstadt. Muddy Waters played there, too.
Muddy Waters played at the Rodeo Lounge in Casper, Wyoming.
Okay, maybe not him. Who am I thinking?
Stop, Dad. Just stop. All those people are either old or dead. How much past its prime is this place, really?
Look, it's just gonna take you some time to get used to the road.
I don't want to get used to the road. I want our old house back. My old bedroom back.
Well, you'd lost the house, honey. You know that.
How could you let us lose the house?
There were a lot of unexpected bills, and then...
It's our house!
I didn't want to lose the house either, but there wasn't anything I could do.
I want my old friends back. My old life back.
Hopping into a stranger's big rig isn't going to bring them back.
What will, Dad? What will?
Nothing. You can't get them back, honey. You can't. You can't get any of it back.
Sounds like I'm not the only one trying to run away.
What do you want me to do, Ellie?
I don't know, Dad.
I'm a musician. This is what I do. This is what I've always done. You want me to go to work at Foot Locker or Home Depot? I'm sure not going to make any more money doing that than doing this. Have I not been good to you? Have I ever broken a promise to you? Ever?
You've never made a promise to me, Dad. That's the thing. You've never made a promise to me.
Okay. Then I promise you that I will never, ever leave you. You scared the hell out of me, do you know that?
I'm sorry.
You're 15 years old.
I know.
What if someone did pick you up? I wouldn't even known where to look.
I'm sorry.
What if something terrible happened to you? I can't lose you, sweetie. I can't.
I'm a shitty daughter, I guess.
You're not a shitty daughter. You just made a bad choice.
You make bad choices too, Dad. Especially in your songwriting.
Okay, we're back to my songs again.
I know I told you your songs suck, but I don't actually want them to suck.
You know, that song I wrote about the Mississippi is actually pretty good.
Right, because no one has ever written a song about the Mississippi before. Or the corn in Iowa, which is another song of yours. Or how big Texas is.
Okay, I get it. The country's beautiful, Ellie, and I write about it.
Why don't you write about something no one else has ever written about?
Like what?
Something from you.
All my songs are from me.
No one cares about what you think about the Mississippi River, or the Grand Canyon, or the sunflowers in Kansas. They want to know about you. I want to know about you.
Me?
Yes. I get lonely, Dad. I want to know what you're really feeling.
You mean something personal?
Yes. Don't write about what's out there. Write about what's in here, in your heart. And I know saying that is super unoriginal and it actually makes me want to puke, but it's true.
I have written about what's in my heart.
No, you haven't.
Actually, I have.
Dad, I know your entire oeuvre.
Oeuvre?
Oeuvre, oeuvre, oeuvre. Don't you read Rolling Stone? Your song collection, Dad.
I have a song, Ellie. From In Here. It's a new song.
You do? For real?
For real. I'm just a little nervous to sing it.
Why? That's a song everyone wants to hear.
Maybe.
Maybe. You're 46 years old, Dad. What are you waiting for? Sing that song.
Okay.
Okay. You'll sing it?
It's not done or anything, and I don't have my guitar with me, but I will...
Here? You're going to do it here? Now? At 5:05 and 48 seconds in the morning?
Sure.
Okay. I mean, okay, I guess that's fine. You could save it for the stage, but whatever. Go for it.
Okay. Here we go. There is a house in New Orleans.
Dad.
All right, I'm just kidding. Here we go.
You're stalling.
Give me a break, would you? I'm nervous.
You're nervous?
Yeah, I'm nervous. I'm allowed to be nervous.
In front of one person? In front of me? This explains a lot, Dad.
This song is different.
It better be different.
It is. There's a cold wind coming up the hill to the room where she lays her head. Sorrow's running through the wall, and ghosts prepare to tread. So I softly knock upon her door. I come to hold her tight. Then our little girl comes bouncing in to see if mommy's all right. Story Road is where we live together. Story Road is where... I don't think I'm ready to sing that song yet.
That's okay. I don't think I'm ready to hear it. I miss Mom so much.
I miss her too, sweetie. I miss her too.
And that was Story Road, which completes our sampling of Mark Cornell's work. The Cary Playwrights Forum Radio Hour is brought to you by the Cary Playwrights Forum, where creative minds come to play. The Cary Playwrights Forum meets the third Wednesday of every month to read new original plays, various stages of development. Local playwrights and actors are invited to drop in, share their talents, and share their feedback. As I promised earlier, here's a little more information about tonight's featured playwright. Mark Cornell has had more than 75 of his plays produced in theaters around the world. Plays include Spruce Haven B, Rising Sun Performance Company, Frigid Festival, New York City. At Birth, Hormel, New Works Festival at Phoenix Theater. Two Turtle Doves, Common Ground in Durham, and On Pine Knoll Street, Dayton Playhouse Future Fest, Gary Marshall Theater, New Works Festival finalist, Austin Playhouse Festival of New Plays finalist. His short plays have won numerous awards, including the L.W. Thomas Award for Bad Thing at Theatre Oxford and the Short and Sweet Award in Brisbane, Australia, for The Rental Company. Other short plays include, among many others, Hand, Nylon Fusion, New York City, Mildred's Umbrella, Houston, The Obit, Town Street Theatre, L.A., and 6 Feet Down, the Greenhouse Ensemble in New York City, New American Theater in L.A. His play, Theater More Like Baseball, which we will probably air on CPF Radio Hour, was part of the new NC 10x10. His plays One Life 2014 and Train Stop 2016 are published in Smith and Cross's Best 10-Minute Plays Anthology. Our announcements.
Okay, I've got an announcement for you. I have been cast as a fellow named Nicholas in a upcoming play that is categorized as a Christmas noir play. The name of it is Lady Misrule, and rumor has it there's going to be a little advance information about it on a future show of Terry Playwrights Forum Radio Hour.
We invite you to come out to Sips and Scripts every month, downtown Raleigh. We are a group of artists who come together to support local and national playwrights by reading and critiquing their plays. All feedback is heard by the playwright, if present. Otherwise, notes are taken and given to playwrights who are not present to help during their writing process. Our next Sips and Scripts is Monday, November 5th, at 6 o'clock p.m. at Emerge 300 South McDowell Street. For that evening on November 5th, we welcome our special guest reader, critic theater, Roy C. Dix. Thank you all. Good night.
And actually, I have one more announcement over here. As everybody knows, Shakespeare's birthday is April 23rd. Every year, we celebrate Shakespeare's birthday with a reading of the Shakespearean sonnets, all 154 of them. Mary and I, and incidentally, I am Kurt Benrood. I'm the guy that's been sitting in the corner saying nothing all night. But Mary and I have been part of this since the very beginning. And what we do is, every year, we have a reading of the Shakespearean sonnets on the Sunday and the Monday, closest to April 23rd. As long as it's not a holiday. And so I'm going to ask anybody interested in joining us, either as a reader or as a listener, please get in touch with us. We'll have more information down the road. Meanwhile, Mary's going to read sonnet number 130.
My mistress' eyes are nothing like the sun. Carl is far more red than her lips red. If snow be white, why then her breasts are dun. If hair be wires, black wires grow on her head. I have seen roses damasked red and white, but no such roses see I in her cheeks. And in some perfumes is there more delight than in the breath that from my mistress reeks. I love to hear her speak, yet well I know that music hath a far more pleasing sound. I grant, I never saw a goddess go. My mistress, when she walks, treads on the ground. And yet, by heaven, I think my love as rare as any she belied with faults compare.
And that was sonnet number 130. I will now read sonnet number 29, and then Yvette will sign us off for the night. When in disgrace with fortune and men's eyes, I all alone beweep my outcast state, and trouble deaf heaven with my bootless cries, and look upon myself and curse my fate, wishing me like to one more rich in hope, featured like him with friends possessed, desiring this man's art and that man's scope, with what I most enjoy, contented least. Yet in these thoughts, myself almost despising, Haply I think on thee. And then my state, like to the lark at break of day arising, from sullen earth sings hymns at heaven's gate. For thy sweet love remembered, such wealth brings, that then I scorn to change my state with kings. Now, if you want to join me and Mary and 152 other people next April, jot this down. This is very important. The email address is fairestcreatures, all one word, fairestcreatures, 0423, as in April 23rd, at gmail.com. That whole thing, once again, is fairestcreatures, 0423, at gmail.com. Email us and just say something clever like, hey, I want to read a sonnet. We'll get you in on it, and we'll have as much fun next year as Mary and I and a bunch of other people have had over the past 3 years. Come on down.
And that is it for tonight, guys. Thank you for listening, and would like to thank our volunteers tonight, volunteer readers, Kurt Benrude, Mary Rowland, David Kleonsky, Robbie Merritt,
and Faith Crutch.
Thank you, and good night, and break a leg.